This morning's message is entitled, A Mother Like That. A Mother Like That. Let us look at the similarities of the Holy Spirit and motherhood. The Holy Spirit and the characteristics of God can be seen in the aspect of a comforting mother. John chapter 15 and verse number 26 says this, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." If you haven't picked up on the characteristic that I'm talking about today, is that there is some similarity between the Holy Spirit and motherhood in the aspect of being a comforter. A comforter. The Greek word for the Holy Spirit, if you will, they use the word parakletos, one who walks alongside. Another translation could be an advocate. It brings to mind someone who would advocate on your behalf as like a lawyer. When we think about the Holy Spirit in that aspect, one who is like a lawyer who comes alongside of you, we think about how mothers will, in a moment, no doubt about it, defend their children. Am I right about it? We can know that they wrong, but if somebody else come up to them, I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with mama. That's my baby. And we will defend, mothers will defend their children. Am I right about it? One who will come alongside and be mama bear, if you will. The paracletus, an advocate. The Bible tells us that we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, who sits on the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, who makes intercession for us. That's another aspect of the Comforter or of the Holy Spirit. He is an advocate, an encourager, and an intercessor. So when we think about a mother is an advocate. A mother is an encourager. Do you know that the greatest sports athletes in the NBA, the ones at the top of their game, came from single-parent homes? The ones that are at the very tops, like a LeBron James. Can't nobody do it better than LeBron James. Well, I heard somebody say Jordan. Now, we won't get into that debate today. We just say they equal for now. There's another one, Shaquille O'Neal. Came from a single parent home. Mom raised him, went to the NBA. You can go on and on and on, but mama has been there as an encourager. Many of them would have never made it to professional sports without mama yelling from the stands. Now, daddy, he may have been in every practice. He may have been out there in the court or on the field with them. It may be in present and helping and showing the techniques. But guess what? When they're out there on the field, they want to hear whose name? Mama. Am I right about it? There's something special about motherhood, not to negate the father, but there is this nurturing aspect of motherhood that is implied in your existence. And so we as men, even though daddy may be there, oftentimes what we want to hear is the encouraging words that come from mama. We want to impress daddy, yes, but we really want to break our backs for mama. Am I right about it? And so we find that they are advocates, they are encouragers. An encourager is one who lifts you up and inspires you to greater heights. Yes, that's mama. And a lot of times we don't understand motherhood and some of the things that mothers do to inspire us. Sometimes they poke at us. They keep stuff from us. They put us in harm's way sometimes because they don't want us to be soft. Somebody ought to say amen. That's what a mama will do. One who will lift you up, but also make sure that you are not so nurtured that you are not able to handle yourself in any given situation. Yes. Then the mother is an intercessor, one who petitions or prays on behalf of their children. I don't know about you, but how many of you are some praying mothers? How many of you are praying for your children? Praying for your grandchildren, praying for your husband, praying to get a husband. We some praying mothers. Am I right about it? Come on, somebody. You ought to pray about it. Because you can't just accept anything. I often tell young ladies when I'm counseling them, you need to pray for what you desire. You need to have a prayer list. If you're looking for a husband, you need to pray, Lord, this is what I want. Amen. Now, I know, Lord, you're going to give me what I need, but this is what I want. And the reason I'm writing down what I want, because in the midst of some of my wants and some of my needs, when the one you send shows up, I will be able to identify him. See, if you ain't aiming for nothing, you ain't going to hit nothing. And so what happens is a lot of these young ladies today, they don't have a sense of purpose and direction as to who they will connect their lives to. And so if you don't have, we call it a strategic plan for your husband, if you don't have a strategic plan, if you haven't done a SWOT analysis, your strength, your weaknesses, what are the oppositions and what are the threats, as I analyze this, brother, you need to be able to know that. And you look at that and you assess and you look at it, you take it to the Word of God and you say, okay, Lord, this is what a godly man looks like. And so now when the man shows up, he has to have some of those characteristics. Baby, I love you. But he don't know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, that means you don't know love. For God is love. So how can you tell me you love me? That means the best you can do is you can like me. Am I right about it? And it's okay to like somebody, but don't get love confused with your lust. Yes? You need to pray for your children. I pray for each one of my children. I prayed for them before they were even born. My wife, when in the womb, we would sit there and we would rub bellies. You know how you do. You go there, you listen. She'd say, oh, he moving. We'll come over there and we'll look and we'll rub and lay hands on the belly, rub the belly, and then we'll pray sometime. We did that, didn't we, Ms. Harris? And so you need to pray. How many of you had some praying mothers? Do you not know, watch this, that your mother's prayers can still be answered after she's gone. Listen, mama, don't take it for granted. When you pray, just don't pray for what's going on right now today. Just don't pray for the next week. When you pray, you need to include the generations before you, your children and your children's children and your children's children's children, until the last generation, that they all might know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can pray into the future and call some things to come into existence while you sitting around the throne of heaven. That's the kind of impact that a praying mother can have. I heard a song about it, says, I still hear mama praying. I still hear mama praying, and the prayers that she prayed, they're still keeping me day by day. Oh, I still hear mama praying for me. When mama bowed her head and knelt down in fervent prayer, she knew how to call on the name of Jesus, for she knew that he'd meet her there. Yes. Oh, she thanked him for health and for strength just to run this Christian race. Oh, but she never failed to pray for her children, saying, Lord, save them by your grace. I still hear mama praying. You know, I look back in my generations before me, and I look at my mom. As many of you know, I came from a mom who had a mental illness, so she was not able to raise me. Yes? But my mama did something, and even with her mental illness, she was a praying mother. I got to know her as I got older. And when she was in her right mind, she would pray. Listen, sometimes we might be out of our mind, but while you have your right mind, pray. Pray for in your right mind for when times come when you ain't in your right mind. That God will help you. Yes, I don't know about you, but I thank God for a mother like that. When Israel was taken captive in Babylon because of their rebelling against the Lord comforted them with the prophecy of Isaiah that they would return to the land and the joy that they would experience would meet them there. They would be like an infant being nourished on the milk of its mother, resulting in pure comfort of mind, body, and spirit. Motherhood by the power of God. God talking about how the Spirit of God would nurture Israel. Listen at what Isaiah says. He says, rejoice, O Jerusalem, and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be born upon her sides. Y'all know what that means? You know how you mama's got certain kind of hips? You know how y'all carry the babies? Man, we're not too good with that. We don't have hips for that. I've seen some women, skinny as I don't know what, didn't have a muscle, hold a baby a whole lot longer than I could. There's something about the hip bone, and the Lord is saying, listen, like a child upon the mother's hip, you're going to just rest in peace. You're going to be comforted. You know, a baby is comforted when they're on a mother's hip. They're not worried about anything. They're just sitting on the mother's hip. Listen, don't let your backbone slip on the mother's hip. Listen, God said, hey, You can be comforted because why? There's something special. Because she's there. A mother being present and willing to comfort her children. Notice what it goes on to say. It says, then shall ye suck and shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. He thought, now we move from the hip to the knees. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, that's when you get the baby. You put the baby on your knees. How many of you mothers have done that? You know, I remember doing that with each one of my kids. I like my knee was a horse, and they would be riding. I'd be bucking. They'd be all over the place. They're just dangling. I got them, though, but I'm holding them. I'm holding it. They think they're going to fall. But like being on the mother's knee, see, there's a lot more pad on the mother's knee. Can I get a witness? A little bit more comforting on the mother's knee. That's why the children like sitting on mama's lap. Listen. Oh, hard legs. It's like getting on those bicycles. You try to get on that bike, and you can't sit right on it. But there's, you know, my wife, she said she want to get a bike with a nice pad to it, you know, with a big seat to it. Can I get a witness? Yeah, some comfort. And so the Lord said, listen, I want you to know that a mother, the comforting knee of a mother is like the Holy Spirit's comfort for you as a nation. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? So he goes on to say, you'll be dandled upon her knees. And watch this. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I, watch it, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. I don't know what you're going through, what adversities you've been through, mama, but what I want to encourage you today is say, whatever you're going through or whatever you're getting ready to go through, God says, I'm going to comfort you, and even though the ride may be rough, you're going to be on his knee. And even though others are feeling the hardness of the ride, he said, listen, you may go through the same ride, but your pad is going to be a little different. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? So he said, I want to make sure that you are comforted. And I like how he's speaking to Jerusalem, but I like that word Jerusalem because in it, it has peace, shalom. Jerusalem is the city of peace. And God says, I'm going to comfort you in the city of peace. Let's guess what? Say, your home can be a city of refuge. Your home can be a city of peace. So on your job, you can say, I got Jerusalem right here. I have Jerusalem in my heart. I have peace in my heart because I have peace with God. Therefore, I have the peace of God. That gives you comfort to know that whatever you're going through, whatever you need, whatever you lack, God says, I will supply. I will nurture you. I will make sure that you are milked out and fatted and full of that which he provides. Why does a mother comfort? That's a good question. Why does a mother comfort? She does so, I believe, out of love. There is nothing that can replace a mother's love other than the love of God. We talk about a family love. In the Greek, they have different types of love. You have agape, which is unconditional love. Then you have phileo. Phileo is the type of love where it's a brotherly love, a sisterly bond towards another sister. That's phileo. And then you have eros. Eros is the love that a man and a woman experiences in the confines of marriage. Eros, erotica is where we get the word erotica from. And then there's storge. Storge is a type of love that is between a family. It is a family type of love. It's not agape, but it's a family type of love. It's one where you have this this intensity for the individuals within your particular group, your family. So I believe that a mother loves because it's in her storge capacity to do so. A mother will love, a mother's love will run into a burning building to save her children, and with her being left disfigured of the burns and scars, that mother's love, and a love like that, will endure being disowned by her very child that she saved, being despised, ridiculed, and rejected of her, of others. Those who see her as ugly, a mother's love will endure that, even being rejected of the same child that she saved from that fire. A mother's love is like that, and God knows your heart. Secondly, a mother's love, in comparison to the Holy Spirit, is a correcting kind of love. It's a mother who is a correcting mother. The Holy Spirit and a correcting mother have something in common. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Notice what the text says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Watch this. I want you to see this, because this is where the Holy Spirit comes in comparison to how a mother is to train that child. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that the woman of God, that the child of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I want to just lift out of that text a little bit where it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, this inspiration is speaking of the Spirit of God. The pneuma in the Hebrew is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the one who helps you to understand the Word of God. The scriptures were breathed out. That word inspired, or inspired, or inspiration of the Holy Spirit speaks of God breathing the word out. There's power in words. Just speaking a word can speak something into existence, or cause something to happen. So we must be careful with our words. Therefore, Paul is telling Timothy, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, in the accumulation of the words that have been put together in such a context that you can understand them. If you put those words that we gave you together and obey the words that we gave you, they can make you wise and they can save your soul. Someone said these are just black letters on white paper, sometimes red or blue. But what makes these words significant on the page? Not the page in itself. It is the power of the word and who inspired it. It is the word of God. So he says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You know, that's a big challenge for young people today. You know, when they leave home, they go out into the world. And there's the tendency to not continue in the things that thou hast learned and have been assured of. If that is you, I want to challenge you today to do like Paul told Timothy, don't stop You were brought up in the Word of God. You were trained in the Word of God. You know the Word of God. And it's going to make you wise unto salvation. But there are going to be many people who don't know the Lord, who are going to try to draw you away from the things that you were brought up on. Am I right about it? Young people, stay with God. I want to say it real simple. Don't be moved by the world. Don't be moved by the parties that they have. Don't be moved by the sororities and the frat parties. Don't be moved from the Word of God. You want to join a sorority? You want to join a fraternity? Join Alpha and Omega, because He's the beginning and the end. He's God who was and is to come. That's the best fraternity to ever join, because you have brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're going to live with them forever in heaven. You may join a fraternity or a sorority in college, and all of them die and go to hell, and you be the only one going to heaven. Then you find out you were in the wrong place with the wrong crowd, because you didn't belong there, because what they were trained up on didn't fit what you were trained up on, but you tried their way. But God says no. He says, I want you to be in my way, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you follow me, you're going to live because of the truth. I wish I had a witness this morning. He's saying to the mama, I'm going to translate into this text and say, mamas, help your children to continue in the things that they have learned by praying for them, because guess what? When they leave home, they are out of your hand. Am I right about it? And it's hard sometimes. The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go. Amen? But sometimes we when they leave home, guess what? It's not a guarantee that they're going to go back to Jesus. It's not a guarantee. What we have to do is be faithful to make sure that we are doing our part and trust the Holy Spirit to do His part. So we pray over them. We anoint them in the Spirit and in our minds. If we can't touch their body, we anoint them with prayer. Do you believe it? He said, continue down the things that you have been assured of. There should be some things that you are sure of. We can forget those things. He says, but continue in what you what are sure of. Yes. And he says, in that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. From a child. Yes. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand in John chapter 14 and 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, watch this, he shall teach you what? All things, and bring what? All things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. And sometimes mama does that too. Mama, pick up the phone. Now, you remember what this? You don't forget that. Did you wash your clothes? Remember what I taught you? Amen. Mama will do that. And so the Holy Spirit will do the same thing. Just because they've grown don't mean that they are no longer our sons and our daughters. They think that they're somebody else when they're gone, when they leave. But they can be 50, they can be 40, they can be 90. But if you gave birth to them, you still mama. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Daddy, you still daddy. Listen, don't let the world change their mind. Sometimes we have to remind them, I'm still your father. I'm still your father, and I do have some say-so into your life. Come on, somebody. We help to bring it into existence. Certainly, we have to do something about maintaining it every now and then. We don't try to control their life, but we certainly should be able to speak into their life. I know they don't like that. They don't like you talking about that. They don't want you saying nothing because they want to be independent. But I tell you, the best independence is to be independent on Jesus Christ. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Because really, none of us are that independent. We all need somebody. We think we can handle it on our own, but we can't really handle it on our own. We need somebody. We need a helper. Can I get a witness? And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He says, but the comforter, which is also a helper. You remember when God created Adam, he created Eve, and Eve was his helper. So the Holy Spirit is called the helper or the comforter. And guess what? The wife is called the who? The help. So in being the help, don't think that's a disservice or a put down, because really it is equating you to the characteristic of the Holy Spirit, who is a helper, who is more like God the Father and God the Son than anybody else. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? So it's a compliment to call you helpmate. It's a compliment to call you helper, because the Holy Ghost himself is called the helper. I wish I had some help this morning. Yes. He said he'll bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. The Holy Spirit will, your comforter, your helper. You know, every now and then we have some battles to fight. We have some struggles, and we need some help. I remember growing up, I needed a lot of help. I was always getting in trouble, getting spankings. Come on, somebody. And you know, what was really odd in my life, I went to an orphanage, and after coming out of the orphanage, I went to some foster homes. One of the foster homes I went to, her name was Maddie. Now, I looked that name up later on in the years, after being grown and on my own, I went back and I thanked Maddie for helping me, Miss Maddie for helping me. I had a chance to thank her for pouring into my life and the foster home. But I looked the name up, and it meant mighty warrior. I say, oh, that's interesting. As I begin to review my life, I said I have been reared in some way by three Maddies. In the foster home, there was a Maddie, a mighty warrior, and she was a good Christian lady. She took us to church, but she spanked our tails. But she wasn't better at spanking than the next door neighbor, who happened to be my father's aunt. Nobody knew that. I didn't know that until I turned like, 13 or 14 years of age, that she was my aunt. And I was playing with my cousins the whole time and didn't even know it. She knew it. But that Maddie, she was a mighty warrior. I mean, I'm talking about with discipline. Because, you know, she wore one of those turbans, you know. And I remember one day we were playing a game. Catch and kiss them. If you can catch the girl, you can kiss the girl. So we were out there playing, me and my other cousin, his name was Quincy, I'll never forget it. And we caught some girls and we were kissing on the girls right there, and she was looking out the window. And we kissing on the girls. And she leaned out the window and she called us and called us in the house. Ooh-wee. Name was Maddie. She told us to go out in the backyard. She said, I want you to pull me three switches. Now, she had two gold teeth right here. They had a turban on, and she wore black all the time. Black dress, black turban. I said, what we do? I saw y'all outside. Go get the switches. It's a horrible thing to have to pick your own switch. I don't know nobody. I don't know if that ever happened to you. But I can, in my mind's eye, I can still see the switches. And I tried to pick the littlest one that I could pick. And I brought that in. She broke it. Go out and get another one bigger than that. So I went out and got my three switches. He got his three switches. And we came back in. Now, he was a little older than I was. And she began to spank him. And she always would spank on the legs. I don't know what it was about the legs, but you would get the, I guess they were trying to keep bruises off your head. But I never forget that, Maddie. She spanked us a lot. And then after I got out of the foster home, I eventually was able to be taken in by an uncle who had a girlfriend who had been with, I guess, common law marriage for over 30 years, and her name was Maddie. So I left from one Maddie, got spanked by this Maddie, to another Maddie. And I say, man, you know what? That's why I had so much war to fight, so many battles to fight, because I had some warring Maddies. I had some battles to fight. I had some wars to fight. Now, the third Maddie, she was an abusive Maddie. I'm just going to tell you the truth about that. It was not a pleasant experience being around that Maddie. But the scriptures tell us to train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they will not depart from it. Amen? Now, I just wanted to share you and tell you about those Maddies in case you have a Maddie in your life. You better be prepared for war. Well, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15 says, the rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. It has been said that our dogs are going to obedience school while our children are running wild on the street. Somebody ought to flip that switch. It ought to be our children who are going to obedience school and the dogs running wild on the street. But that means that we must take responsibility for motherhood. Now, you may not be the mother for that particular child. That child may come into your life for a season. You may see that child on the road, or that you may see the child in the store, or the child on their way home from school. It used to be a time that a mother could speak up to any child on the street. But it's hard to do that today. Matter of fact, it's hard for fathers to say something to these children today on the street today. Am I right about it? You better be led by the Spirit or have something on your hip. Young man was playing basketball with. He was in the fourth grade. I was out there playing basketball, and he was shooting. And he started to use a lot of profanity. And I mean, I didn't say nothing for about maybe 5 minutes. I mean, I'm just out there. He's just on the court just cussing up, missing his shots. Blankety blank this, blankety blank this. And I couldn't take it no more, y'all. I went over there, I said, man, I'm going to tell your mother what you're saying out here. Guess what he told me? He said, well, my mama taught me. I just turned around and walked away. Wasn't nothing more that I could say. One day, I was walking home from picking my kids up from school, and a young lady was standing at the door. I guess she was around, but she was a high schooler, and she couldn't get into the house. She was knocking on the door, and nobody would come. And I happened to be walking up, and I heard her screaming and yelling and hollering. And Dad was at work he was at work, but I heard her talking about it on the phone. You need to leave work now so I can come and get into the house. And she began to cuss him out right there at the door in front of the house. And I'm listening and saying, "Oh my gosh!" And when she said, "And Daddy, I need you to get here," I said to myself, whoa, that's deep. It has been said that our dogs are going to obedience school while our children are running wild on the streets. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit and a mother has this creative work that they do that is similar. A mother, like the Holy Spirit, is one who gives birth. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the womb a second time and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot even what? See the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not at what I say unto thee, ye must be born again. I was talking to someone one day, and they were asking me the question, how do you know that God is real and that heaven is real? That was the question. How do you know that heaven is real? And I said to myself, how do you know that? They said, how do you know that hell is real? I say, well, how do you know that heaven is real? As a matter of fact, how do you know that earth is real? Before you came to earth, you did not know that it existed. Think about that. When you were born, you had no clue that you were being born into a world called earth. And so Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so now we have some information, and with this information we can do something with it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he tells us, in order to go to heaven, you must be born again. Being born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die a physical death, and you're going to die a spiritual death, totally separated from God for all eternity. But if you're born twice, you may die once. And if the Lord raptures us, you may not die at all. Am I right about it? I'd rather be born twice and have to die just once. But I know in my dying, I live forever. Am I right about it? That is similar to what a mother does. A mother gives birth, but the Holy Spirit gives new birth. A mother gives life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life. Yes, I thank God for mothers. I'll tell you a story as I close. One day I had a conversation with my mother, and I think I was probably in my 40s at this time. And I was asking her about my birth and my dad and how all that came to be. She said, well, when I had you, because of my illness, the family didn't want me to have a child. Your grandfather. And my brother, she had like 11 brothers and sisters. And they all were telling her to get an abortion. My mother goes on to tell the story. She says, yes, and I went to the abortion clinic. I was walking to the abortion clinic. And I got there, and I turned around. I didn't want to get an abortion. It hit me like a ton of bricks. You mean to tell me I almost did not exist? She said, yeah. In order for me to have you, I ran away. I ran away and I moved out until she tells me the neighborhood she moved into. So when I think about motherhood, it's very precious to me. Because I'm standing here before you as one who was about to be aborted within minutes. But somehow, God changed her mind. Somehow, something got in her way. Somehow, not being in her right mind, God gave her a mind to say, no, I'm going to turn around. And she ran away, and she did that for a while until she had me. Then she went back home. By that time, I was born. And I lasted a little while. I lasted about 4 or 5 years, and that's when I went to the orphanage. But I thank God for my mama. I thank God that she had the courage to turn around, to change her mind,
because
she could have did it anyway. I don't know about you, but I cherish a mother like that. You know, the Bible is full of women that are mothers like that. The Bible is full of mothers who are comforters and correctors and who give birth creatively through what God commanded to be fruitful and multiply. Eve was the mother of all creation, but God blessed up what she messed up. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a mother like that. It's implicated that Noah's wife was a working mother, for she had to help build the ark. She was a working mother. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for mothers like that. Sarah was a mother who waited on the Lord for the promise of a son for about 25 years. How about a mother like that? Rebecca was a believing and a birthing mother, for the Bible said that two nations were in her womb, Jacob and Esau. Oh, she was one who waited on the Lord, and she took heed to the instructions of the Lord. When God sent her a man, she followed the Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for a mother like that. Jochebed was planning. She was a planning mother who defied Pharaoh's decree and saved little baby Moses by putting him in the ark and placing him in the Nile River to be raised by Pharaoh's at Pharaoh's palace. And she planned it so well that she herself wound up taking care of Moses for a little while. Oh, she would hold him in her arms, and oh, how she comforted him. Oh, how she corrected him. Oh, how she gave creation or birth to Moses. Yes. Yes. Naomi, she was a grieving mother, but she kept the faith to turn things around for a younger daughter-in-law named Ruth to become an ancestor of Christ by marrying Boaz. How about a mother like that? Hannah was a praying and a promise-keeping mother, for she prayed for her son Samuel to come into existence because her womb was barren. Oh, she kept on praying. She kept on knocking. She kept on asking, and God opened the door of her womb. Yes, and she kept her promise to give the child back to the service of the Lord. How about a mother like that? And then we find that Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was a mother who was blessed and what? Highly favored, who accepted her son, Jesus Christ, as her own Lord and Savior. How about a mother like that? A mother who took baby Jesus, cradled him in her arms. And if Mary would have made a mistake, little Jesus could be in trouble. If she didn't feed him right, he could choke. Oh, if she didn't lay him down right, he could be smothered in his sleep and smothered out your salvation. But Mary, a mother like that, who raised the Son of God so that more children can have an experience with God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for a mother like that. Yes, a mother is a special thing. If you have a mother, whether she's living or deceased, you ought to thank God for her. Am I right about it? If you have a mother who was only able to keep you for one day, you ought to thank God for her. If you have a mother who gave you away so that somebody else could raise you, you ought to thank God for that. You had a mother who didn't know how to be a mother. She did the best she could. But somehow you're sitting here today. You ought to thank God for that. because she existed, you exist. If you can thank the Lord for nothing more than that, if you could not be happy for your mother for nothing more than that, guess what? I'm glad about her because I was born, I exist because she exists. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad my mother turned around because I wouldn't be able to see your faces here today. I wouldn't be married to this beautiful woman for over 33 years now. I would not have a child who was 25 and 27 and 29 years of age, children, somewhere in there. You know, when they get to get those ages, you know, you kind of forget. You just know you got children. And you're glad about that. I'm happy for a mother like my wife who raised her children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I'm glad for a mother like that. A mother who was a comforter, a corrector, and someone who used her creative genius to care for those children. Mothers, we salute you today, for God is with you. Maybe you're here today, amen. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need a father. Because guess what? You can't have a mother without a father. You can be born with an earthly father into this world, but you can't be born again unless you have a heavenly father. And the heavenly father, our heavenly father, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sin so that you won't ever have to worry about dying. You'll have a home in heaven. If that's who you are and you're not saved today and you know it, why don't you just raise your hand? I want you to pray for your salvation. I'm not asking you to be a member of this church or to join the church. I'm saying make sure that you have a home in heaven.